Yeah, that is so fun. I love it. That we can come to church and have fun. I've said it a million times in the 10 years that I've been here, that I think church ought to be the funnest place on the planet. Like, we are the only people in the world as Christ followers. Yeah. Like, we are the only people in the world as Christ followers who, like, say, like, I don't have to worry about my past. Like, it's been forgiven, it's been paid for, it's been done, and we have a future to look forward to, like, where we're going to be in heaven one day celebrating and singing praises to God, not based on our effort, but because of what Jesus did for us. And, like, I just think that's a reason to celebrate and have fun every single week. And so last week, we didn't get to do that, and I wasn't very happy. Some of you, many of you, you watched online, appreciate that, and I hope that I never have to do that again. For real, like, I should have did it the first week that we missed. Many of you asked, hey, Josh, just put it online and do it that way, and I thought, no, I don't want to do that, and I did it the second week that we missed, and I realized why I didn't want to do it the first time. Like, I had a music stand set up right here and the iPhone on it, and I'm preaching to nobody. That is so hard to do, but it worked, and I think this week somewhere around 3,600 people have viewed that. Like, that is amazing to me. Yeah, I don't get it, honestly, every week, and I've said this before too. Every week I look for the week that like nobody shows up because nobody hears what I have to say. Like, and I would get it. Like, I understand. I don't want to hear what I have to say most of the time anyway. But so we finished up that series last week called You in 5 Years, and we kind of ended with, I don't even remember, but really just an encouragement kind of to keep going, to understand that God is going to use you and do something great in your life. And somebody said, I got several comments actually, like, that is the all right, never know. She needs a ride somewhere. I'm just giving her my keys. But someone said, that is the most still that you've ever stood to preach a sermon. I know, I couldn't move. If I moved, I got out of the screen. So let's not ever do that again. Like, just show up next time it snows, and we'll be good. But this week, one of the things that I do every February, and because I love it, is I do a series on relationships and on marriage. And one of the reasons I love it is because I can have the band do silly songs like that and have fun, and they'll do it. Most of the other times when I ask them to do something, they just tell me no, and that's okay too. But we get to do those. But also, as I plan these, and we talk about Valentine's Day and relationships, and my anniversary is next Sunday, 23 years my poor wife has put up with me. Yeah, I don't get that. So I'm always this kind of year, just kind of thinking about relationships and marriage. And then even this year, even a bit different, I've got a daughter in 3 weeks who's going to be getting married. I said, you're too young to get married. She's 20. She said, I'm a year older than you were. I go, okay, that shut me up real quick. But I also know when I plan these series that they're difficult series for a lot of people. Because there are some serious relationship issues that are going on. Maybe you're divorced. And sometimes when I preach on marriage, it just makes you feel guilty. Like, that's not the goal. Like, I have no desire to heap guilt and condemnation on you. But what I want to do is just be honest to the Word of God and speak about what marriage is and the way to have a godly marriage. Some of you, I understand that maybe your spouse has passed on and they're not here any longer, and a relationship series is really tough to hear and to be involved in, and I understand that too. But I think one of the ways that we're going to make a difference in this world, and one of the ways that we're going to have impact in our community, is when we do marriage in a godly way, when we follow the scriptural teaching on what marriage is. So we're going to spend the next 5 weeks talking about that relationship of marriage. For those of you who are married, what we want to do is we want to invest some time into you to kind of fail-proof your marriage. But for those of you, maybe you're not married, maybe you're dating, maybe whatever, what we want to do is we want to get you prepared for that day when you make that commitment to spend the rest of your life with someone. So let me kind of begin this way, and I want to ask the ladies a question, and hopefully I can get your participation. How many of you, like when maybe you were a little girl, you dreamed of growing up one day, getting married, having this perfect wedding, having your husband carry you over the threshold of your perfect house, and loving you and rubbing your back, and maybe you've already named your children long before you met your husband. Ladies, how many of you did that? Any of you? I don't. My daughter did. Like, okay, how'd that work out for you? No, I'm kidding. Men, did any of you do that, men? Please don't raise your hand if you did. No, like I said, men, like here's what many men dreamed of. They dreamed of one day getting married, having sex twice a day, and 3 days on Sundays. Like that's men. Like, how'd that work out for you? But now my question, honestly, is how many of you are kind of still dreaming? You're still dreaming of having that perfect relationship. You're still dreaming of having that relationship that is a blessing and not a curse. Because here's what happens. There's a lot of expectations about what marriage is and how that relationship works, what it's going to be like one day. And we spend a lot of time building up these expectations of marriage. And then at some point, they don't meet our expectations. And so it's full of disappointment. Some marriages are full of hurt, are full of pain, full of anger, full of divorce. And so I know that there are a lot of you right now. Like, you've been wounded in relationships, or you're in one right now that is in such bad shape that a lot of people even ask the question, is a good marriage even possible? Is it possible to have that kind of marriage? And I just want to answer beyond a shadow of a doubt, not because my marriage is perfect, but I just want to, that emphatically the answer is yes, it's possible. But I also want to be really honest and say it's not likely. If you do what everybody else in our society does. A great marriage is possible, but honestly, it's not likely and not probable if you do what everybody else does. Because if you just look at statistics, they're horrifying. The statistics say that about 50% of the marriages that start will not make it. And you know that. That's been a statistic for years. But the tragedy is that the younger you are, the less likely your marriage is to make it. And of those 50% or so that do make it, the vast majority of them, they're miserable. And they don't have any intimacy. And they're just sticking together for the sake of the kids. So the odds are really stacked against us if you do what everybody else does. And I would ask, what other significant area of your life are you satisfied with 50% odds? I think about it. There's a 50% chance you're going to get cancer if you continue to eat the same kind of cereal you've been eating for the last 50 years. Are you going to wake up tomorrow morning and eat that cereal? No, you're going to find something different. If I said there's a 50% chance this week that all of your investments, like all of the money that you have in the bank is going to be gone, chances are you're going to do something different. You're going to go find a safe place for your money. If I told you there's a 50% chance if you walked outside the doors after church today and you're going to get attacked by a herd of man-eating cats, like you're going out a different door. Like you're just not, 50% odds, like they're not very good in any area of life. And yet the way our crazy world is, like you can get a driver's permit without taking, you can't get a driver's permit without taking a class, but you can go to the courthouse and get a marriage license for $65. That's crazy. So I just want to, again, take another survey. How many of you here have been married for less than 5 years? All right. About 5 to 10 years. 10 to 15 years. More, 15 to 20 years. All right, 20 to 25. I'm in that category. I can hold my hand up still. 25 to 30. We're getting some. 35, 40? Wow, good job. Good job. 45 to 50. Wow. See, hey, listen, and look around, for real. Look around, go talk to those people. For real, they know how to do it. Like I said, don't take, I've married 23 years. Some of these guys twice as long as I have. Like, talk to them. That's part of the value of being the body of Christ and being the church, is that we have resources to pull from. And some of these folks that have been married for 45, 50 years, like, they can sit down with you and say, hey, this is the areas that you need to look out for. These are the things that have been a hindrance in our relationship. So I just encourage you, if you've been married in that 1 to 5 year range, find some of these people that have been married for 40 and 50 years and go talk to them, because they'll be honest with you. And they'll tell you that every single day has been roses. It's been perfect. No, I'm kidding, they won't tell you that. If they do, they're lying. Go talk to somebody else. But we do. We want to invest in marriages. And if you're married, I pray that you'll do things differently than this world does. That you'll do things God's way. And I just remember when Jennifer and I took our vows, well, we said something like, I, Josh, take you, Jennifer, to be my wife, to have and to hold. And if you know the next line, to have and to hold from this day forward. And I love that line because there's hope in it to me. I said, those are the vows that I tell every married couple that I perform the wedding of. Because in other words, what you're saying, it doesn't matter what happened in the past. It doesn't matter how many times I've messed up in dating relationships. It doesn't matter if we struggled with all kinds of temptations. Like, that from this day forward, things are going to be different. And here's my commitment to you before God, that from this day forward, I'm going to be this person. And that's a big commitment. And the vows continue for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Forsake all others to be faithful to you as long as we should both shall live. From this day forward. And I think that needs to be a declaration in our lives and in our marriages pretty often. So over the course of the next 5 weeks, like, I'm going to pound that phrase and pound that thought into your head, that from this day forward, because listen, it doesn't matter where you're at in your marriage right now. Maybe it's great, maybe it's falling apart, but if you make a commitment to say, hey, from this day forward, things are going to be different, you will see things dramatically change in your life and in your marriage. And there are 5 commitments that we're going to talk about over the next 5 weeks, if you're taking notes. And we're going to talk about, first one is seeking God. From this day forward, I'm going to seek God. That's the first commitment we're going to make. We're going to talk about that today. Next week, we're going to talk about the second commitment, which is, hey, we're going to fight fair. From this day forward, we want to fight fair. The third one is that, man, we're going to have fun. From this day forward, we're going to have fun. Week 4, we're going to talk about, from this day forward, we're going to stay pure. No matter where you've been in the past, from today on, we're staying pure. And then week 5, we're going to talk about, hey, we're never going to give up. Like, divorce isn't an option. So seek God, fight fair, have fun, stay pure, never give up is where we're going. And I want you to memorize those things. I want you to internalize those things. And today I just wanted to drive that first thought home, is that we're going to seek God. From this day forward, we're going to seek God. Yesterday doesn't matter. The past 15 years of your life don't matter. None of those things. Within this commitment, from this day forward, we are going to seek God. And the problem is, though, that a lot of people aren't really seeking God before they get married. So if you're not married, this is some great advice. Like, so a lot of people, before they get married, they're not seeking God. They're seeking a spouse, right? You know, we're seeking a spouse, that perfect someone. That one person who's going to meet our needs, because everyone knows that you can't really be happy in life until you meet the one. So the guy goes out and he meets her, and she's pretty, and she's so pretty, and she smells good, and when she does that thing with her hair, like, it really gets me. And the girls are like, oh, wow, he's so sweet, and he's so nice, and he knows how to talk to me, and he knows how to listen to me. He's got such a cute little behind, or whatever girls say, I don't know. She's like, I think I've met the one. Because what people believe is, to really be fulfilled in life, you have to find the one. You have to find that person that completes you. And what I would just love sometime to hear somebody say is not, hey, oh, I've met this godly person. Like, they're so awesome, and we have so much fun together, and there's like this real bond. Like, I think I've met the two. Like, that's the correct thing to say. Because culture teaches us something that is true. To be really fulfilled in life, you have to find the one. But the problem is, another person is not the one. Another human being is never going to be the one. And if you're taking notes, write this down. Like, God is your one and your spouse is your two. And I've taught this before and I will teach it again because I think it is so important for us to understand this principle about our relationship, that is, if we put someone else in the spot of number one besides God, it's going to be a miserable failure every time. That we have got to understand that God is our one. In fact, when Jesus asked what was the most important question, or what's the most important commandment, he didn't say, hey, love your spouse with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. When Jesus was asked what's the most important commandment, he said, hey, make God your one. Love him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. People are the number two. God is your one, and your spouse is your two. So let's talk about that for just a couple of group of people. Let's start with those of you who are not married, but one day you'd like to be married. So here's the commitment. If you're not married yet, I will seek the one while preparing for the two. I will seek the one while preparing for the two. So what we're going to do is when we're not married, above everything else, we want to honor God. We want to love God. We want to seek God. We want to please God. We want to know God. Like, we want to live by his spirit. We want all of our life to glorify God. So we're seeking first God and his kingdom. And when you do that, the Bible says that he'll add everything else to you. Everything else will be added to us. So while we're seeking the one, he is preparing us for the two. And the challenge is so often in our culture that there are a lot of people that call themselves Christians. And I know that not all of you do this. But for those of us that are Christians, like, what we like to do is we kind of put things off until later, when you think life's going to matter more. So you're single and you kind of think, well, hey, one day I'll get married and we'll get in the church and we'll take our kids there and we'll raise our kids in the church. But for now, I'm just going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go to the bars. I'm going to have some fun. I mean, I might jump from person to person around and live this ungodly life for now. But one day I'm going to come back to God and we're going to have this perfect little Christian family. It's incredibly dangerous and it's incredibly common. Andy Stanley tells this story. So there was a young girl, and I may have used this before because I like it. It was a very committed Christian. And she went off to college, and she did what a lot of college students do. She first kind of gave in to peer pressure, started partying and alcohol turned into drugs, and from there it turned into guy after guy after guy, relationship and relationship. And she really fell into this very destructive lifestyle. And in the back of her mind the whole time, she's like, well, I still believe in God, and I still want a godly marriage, and one day, like, I'm going to come back and do the right thing. But she continued to living that lifestyle. One day she met a guy and he was everything that she'd hoped to marry. Like, he was godly, he was a terrific leader, he was making a difference, he was discipling other men, he had a great career, and she called her mom and said, Mom, I met this guy. He means everything to me. He's godly, he's perfect, he's the kind of guy I want to marry, I'm going to make myself available to him, I'm going to pursue him. And the mom just lovingly said, well, sweetheart, you need to know, a guy like that's not looking for a girl like you. That's like a kick in the gut. A guy like that's not looking for a girl like you. It doesn't matter what you want. Like attracts like. And my great advice for you is, if you hope to have a godly marriage one day, is to start living a godly life today. Seek God today. Become the kind of person that you'd like to marry. If you want to marry someone who's had 18 different sex partners, then do that. Go for it. Live like that. If you want 50-50 odds, then live like everybody else does. But if you want something that's different from everybody else, seek God today. I will seek the one while preparing for the two. So let me talk to the married folks for a bit. And here's what we're going to do is, I will always seek the one with my two. I'll always seek the one with my two. So we're married, we're always going to seek the one with our two. And that's what we're going to do. If you want to have a marriage that works, like together as a married couple, you have to be seeking God. You know, every time I do marriage counseling, if you've ever come to me for marriage counseling, I always draw a triangle. Put God at the center, you on this end, you on this end. The closer that each of you come to God, the closer you come to each other. Listen, our marriages will never be what God wants them to be unless he is our one, our spouse is our two. And so often what happens is we get so mixed up and we try to make our spouse the one. Oh, you're going to make me happy. Oh, you're everything. Or we might even put God as the one, but then we put our children in the number two spot or our career in the two spot. And we put somebody else in the two spot. But until we get it right, until we prioritize the way that God says, we're always going to struggle in our relationship. God's got to be the one. Our spouse has got to be the two. And what happens is a lot of times we just begin to idolize our spouse. Like when we're dating and things are going great in the first 6 months of dating and first couple years of marriage, like we idolize them, we lift them up. Oh, you complete me. You had me at hello, all those stupid movie lines. So we idolize them at first. And then when they let us down, and they will, because they're sinful people, we don't idolize them anymore, we demonize them. Well, you're not doing that right. You're not doing that, you're not meeting my needs. And you know the drill. I mean, he's like, man, she's so organized. She's so driven. She's such, I love the way that she's passionate about life. And then you're married for a while. I'm like, she's a control freak. She wants everything her way. She drives me crazy. Or, well, oh, he's so laid back. And he'll listen to me. He comforts me. He's not on me all the time. Then you get married, it's like, oh, he's a bump on a log. He doesn't do anything. He isn't a leader. He just sits there and plays video games all day long. Idolize, demonize. So what we do is that we seek the one with our two. We're continuing to seek God with our spouse. Now, how do we do that? How do we practically do that? Because here's what Psalms 10:4-6 says. It says, in his pride, the wicked does not seek God. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. He says to himself, nothing will shake me. I'll always be happy and never have trouble. The wicked do not seek God. We don't want to be that way. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, worship and serve him with your whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. If you seek him, you will find him. So we're going to seek God. You know, if you're looking for the best deal on golf clubs, you're going to find it. You're not going to stop till you do. If you're looking for a place to get your nails done, ladies, you're going to find it. If you're looking for a good pizza restaurant, you're going to find it. Lose your car keys, you're going to seek them out. You lose your cell phone, you forget your cell phone somewhere, you're panic mode. Why? Because the more important that it is, the harder that you're going to search for it. And it's got to be that way in our relationships, and especially our relationship with God. And we've got to be willing to seek him with all that we are, and we seek him together. And the place that you're going to seek him the most, listen, is you've got to read God's word. You've got to be. You have some people say, well, I seek God in nature. And that's good. You may find God in nature. He's there. Romans chapter 1 tells us that just by the creation of the world that we can know that there is a God and that he has divine power. And we know those things. So I seek him in nature. You can do that, and you may find him. So I seek God in music. That's great. God is in music. He inhabits the praise of his people. Like, that's awesome. You may find him there, but you may not. You want to know the place that I can guarantee that you're going to find God is right in his word. If you open up the Bible and you begin to read and seek God in his word, he will meet you there every single time. There is no better place to meet God than in his word. You know, and I'm just going to be honest. Like, there is nothing more special to me than when I wake up in the morning and I see Jennifer reading her Bible. I love it. Now, people say, well, hey, we don't study together. Like, Jennifer and I do not study together. I'm just going to be honest, we don't. But what we're both doing is we're both studying. Because here's what happens. If Jennifer and I study together, I become preacher. And what my wife does not need is for me to preach her a sermon. She doesn't. She doesn't need me to break down the Greek and walk through that. She doesn't need me to talk about the maps and what's going on through there, the stuff that I enjoy in the Word. But what has to happen is that we both have to be studying and reading the Word of God. And if she has questions, she'll come to me. If I'll have questions, I'll go to her, because listen, she's way smarter than I am. But you've got to seek God in His Word. And you've got to do it together, whether that's at the same time or not. But you've got to seek God in His Word. And the second thing, and then this one is kind of difficult, but it's pray together. So, and Jennifer and I are bad at this one. I'm just going to tell you, because it's awkward. Like, it is so weird, and I don't know why. And well, I do know why, actually, because it's so intimate. If you pray together with your spouse, it is probably one of the most intimate things that you can do, which makes it so awkward. But I love what 2 Chronicles says. And we know this verse, and we use it for a lot of different things. But it says, "My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." Now, that was a promise that was written to the nation of Israel when they were experiencing slavery and all kinds of political turmoil in their kingdom. And we use that a lot for the United States, and we talk about, hey, if my people would humble themselves. I don't even want to take it that far. Say, if my people would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, God says, I'll forgive their sins. And listen, I believe He'll heal your marriage. I believe that promise can be used for that, because your land where you're at right now is your house. Your kingdom right now is your house, is your spouse and your kids. And I just believe that if we would come together and pray together, that we would see God begin to heal our marriages. You want to know why? Because it's awful hard to be mad at somebody that you're praying with and for. It's awful hard to hold a grudge against somebody that you're praying with and for. It's hard to walk away and get a divorce from somebody that you're praying with and praying for. And when we seek God in prayer, what happens is that He begins to bring about healing, because we're open and honest with one another. In Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added to us. So we seek God first. You know, we seek Him first. And you may say, hey, we don't do that. My marriage is falling apart. My life is falling apart. Hey, from this day forward, we're people of prayer. From this day forward, we're people that are going to seek God with all of our heart. We don't know how to do that. Just start today. Start when you get home and say, hey, let's pray together. Well, I don't know how. That seems awkward. That seems, I tell you, it is. But just do it. You don't have to have the right words. You don't have to sound like a scholar. That ain't have to be very long. Just pray together. Set a schedule that, hey, we're going to read the Bible. Maybe not at the same time. Jennifer reads it in the morning. I read it in the morning, but we don't do it together. But we're both reading and studying in the Word of God. From this day forward, we're going to seek God with all of our heart. So I don't know what kind of relationship you came in with today. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're not married, but you want to be. Start seeking God today. Become the person that you want to marry. Like attracts like. 50% chance that marriage is going to end in divorce. Don't take those odds. You know, I read another statistic that was kind of mind-blowing to me. I'd never seen this one before. It said that only 8% of married couples actually pray together. 8%. And of those statistics, though, only 1% of those got divorced. you can have 50-50 odds, or really 99% odds. But it's from this day forward. Don't let, if your relationship's struggling, don't let what happened back here, don't let it stop you from moving forward. Don't let it hold you back. The enemy wants nothing more than to use your past against you. It's a matter of a commitment today. From this day forward, we're moving here. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to have a time of decision this morning. And I just want to say that this principle doesn't only apply to our marriage relationship. It applies to every area of our life. Maybe you walked in today and your marriage is in great shape, but there is a sin that is pounding you and hounding you and holding you back. Like today, it's from this day forward, I'm not going to allow that to hinder me any longer. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to seek God. Maybe it's a financial problem and you're in debt up to your ears and you can't seem to get that or break that. And today is, hey, from this day forward, I'm going to make an effort that we're getting out of debt even no matter what. Dave Ramsey always says, if you want to live like no one later, live like no one today. Like don't do what everybody else is doing. And you live like no one later. So I don't know what it is. Maybe it can be anything. A relationship, a sin. My advice, my encouragement today is that from this day forward, it's different. That you make that commitment to seek God with all your heart. If there's a decision that you need to make this morning publicly, we'd love to have you come forward, pray with you, give your life to Christ, whatever it may be. But Father God, I come to you today thanking you for who you are. And Father, my prayer is that we would be a people, a church that seek you above everything else. That we seek you first. And Father, I pray today for those relationships maybe that are in trouble, that maybe are on the brink of divorce. I pray that from this day forward, it would be different. I pray for those that came in this morning and they're not in a relationship. They have no desire to be in a relationship, but I still pray that they would make a commitment to seek you today, that from this day forward, things will be different. Lord, I'm thankful that we can make that commitment every day and you walk alongside us and that you are strong enough to bring about healing in our life. We thank you for Jesus who died for us. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.